This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. When the last person finally moves out of an old apartment complex that's being abandoned, or a gas station owner closes up shop, or a factory goes out of business, the empty lot that's left behind often becomes something known as a brownfield. And cleaning up those brownfields has become a focus for cities all over the country. The 2013 Brownfield Conference is going on right now in Atlanta, which is a happy coincidence because the old railroad town has one of the most successful brownfield cleanup stories out there. Jim Burris from WABE in Atlanta has the story.
When I agreed to meet Lee Harrop at a brownfield site, I pictured rusty buildings, overgrown brush, and maybe the need to wear a hazmat suit. Where we end up is so not like that. So what gives?
And would this qualify as a brownfield?
This most certainly is a brownfield. This was a brownfield, I should say.
Harrop's title is program officer for the Atlanta Beltline. Today, what he shows me is a landscaped, paved trail with skyline and park views and lots of runners and bicyclists. But until the late 1990s, where we're standing was a rail corridor. And until about a year ago, that rundown image I had in my head, well, that's exactly how this place looked.
And so people call this the Hobo Highway. It was a source of dumping. It was a source of homelessness. It was a source of just really not what you wanted to see in a city.
And when Harrop started sampling soil to find out what it would take to clean up this literal dump, he found much more of what you wouldn't want to see. Arsenic, lots of pesticides, dry cleaning solvents.
It was a wasteland.
Jenny Everett lives in the neighborhood and remembers how she avoided this area at all costs. Now, she runs along the trail 3 times a week. She says she was skeptical when she heard what the Beltline would do to the old Fourth Ward neighborhood. Color her skeptical no more.
Place is packed. You have every possible type of person out on this Beltline, from mothers strolling their children to guys and girls walking their dog to runners to bicyclists. It serves a lot of purposes for a lot of different people.
None of this comes cheap. For this 2-square-mile section of trail, the price tag was $63 million. But that spawned $750 million in redevelopment, Beltline officials say. Those developers, they wouldn't have touched this place with a 10-foot railroad spike if the city, state, and federal governments hadn't shouldered the cost of cleanup. And it's the same story in every U.S. city. Janine Betsy is a developer who heads the King Park Area Development Corporation in Indianapolis.
There sometimes could be situations where you say that you've just got to pass.
Betsy says brownfield cleanup can get expensive, so without a little help from taxpayers, developers sometimes won't take the risk. And if that seems unfair, she says, consider if you don't clean up the site.
The problem is that contamination can leak into drinking water. So you're really preserving the health of the entire community and not just cleaning up a property.
The Federal Environmental Protection Agency funds a lot of this. The EPA has spent tens of millions of dollars in some cases to clean up contaminated sites. But these days, most brownfield projects are only a few thousand dollars, says Matty Stanislaus. He's an assistant administrator with the EPA. And by taking the guesswork out of the process,
then you can quickly then conduct any necessary cleanup and then redevelop the site.
So what used to be seen as a brown liability is suddenly a green opportunity. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.